I'm George Faust.
I'm Karaski Melvin. And this is Inside Cajun Nation.
KLFY and the University of Louisiana at Lafayette present Inside Cajun Nation.
Welcome to Inside Cajun Nation. Cajun baseball entered the week winners of their last 15. All that winning is getting national recognition. Louisiana headed back into the national rankings for the first time since 2017. Cajuns end up 19 in the D1 baseball, 21 in two other polls, and 24th in two more polls. Since March 3rd, Louisiana has won 18 of its last 20, including three in a sweep over ULM. Head coach Matt Degg says that there is still much more to accomplish.
You know, it's been a long, tough climb to get back to this point of where, you know, we feel like we should be and where the expectation level is, and just happy for these boys. And this is hitting the rankings is, I know that the season's not over and there's still a lot of baseball left to play, but this is a box that we definitely wanted to check.
Let's see if there are more boxes to check. Cajuns and Prairie View A&M. They would bat around in the third inning after three straight hits off of Panthers starter Corey Batty. Caleb Stelly would greet reliever Elijah Breeden with a two-run double down the left field line. Then, two batters later, Trey LaFleur would be at the dish. He would bloop an opposite field single to left. That would bring in Kyle DeBarge and Stelly for a 5-0 lead. Luke Juhas would finish 2-for-2 with 4 RBI. Louisiana would go on to win 12-2. Now the Cajuns looking for 17 wins in a row, and their opponent, Louisiana Tech, top of the third. Tech's Ethan Bates at the plate. Looks like he hits into a 3-6-3 double play, but called safe at first. One run comes across. That's Cole McConnell, 1-0 Tech. More from the Bullies. Nick Alonzo sends this one to center field. That'll bring Bates around. 2-0 Louisiana Tech. Clouds forming over the Teague. Not necessarily the best omen, you would think, maybe. 5-1 Louisiana Tech. UL's Josh Alexander, opposite field, singles to left. Then next batter, John Taylor, he triples to left. Alexander would come around, gets the hustle. He would score, cuts the lead to 5-2. However, the streak would come to an end. Louisiana Tech wins 7-2. With that said, Cajuns looking to start a new streak. They take on Marshall for 3. UL's Andrew Herman, one of his 5 strikeouts, 12 total for UL pitching. Then bottom of the 4th inning, Duncan Pastor, left center field. It hits the scoreboard over the fence and below the scoreboard. 1-0 Cajuns. 2 batters later, Connor Higgs at the dish. And Connor Higgs would take one out. Solo shot. Louisiana go on to win 3-1. In game 2, Chase Morgan started for Louisiana, and was he dealing? Check this out. Swing and a miss here, swing and a miss there, swing and a miss everywhere. Morgan had 10 Ks and 8 innings of work. Scoreless in the bottom of the 3rd with 2 on. Maddox Mandino at the dish. He would hit a grounder that would appear to start a double play. However, Mandino would beat out the throw to first. Connor Higgs scores the only run of the game. Cajun shot out the herd, 1-0. In game 3, bottom first, 1 on, no score. Kyle DeBarge finds a hole. John Taylor scores the game's first run. Same inning, Duncan Pastor smokes one down the third baseline. That brings DeBarge on home. 2 runs, that was plenty for Carson Fluno. He went 7 innings before allowing his first and only hit. Cajuns win 2-0. They allow Marshall to score once in the series, and that was on Friday. Moving on to Cajun softball. They entered the week still perfect in conference. 12 for their last 12. They look to take the show on the road at Texas State, a ranked against a ranked series in the Sun Belt. Top of the 3rd, 1-0 Cajuns with 2 on. Alexa Lang Lears to left and out. Her 7th of the year. 4-0 Louisiana, top 7th. Victoria Valdez crushes the first one pitch she sees, number 4 on the season for her. Same inning, Lainey Crater at the dish. She is out of the park. 5th homer for her on the year. Cajuns win 7-0. Game 2, Louisiana up 2-0, top 6th. Samantha Grater knocks one to left. That would bring home Maddie Hayton. And then, same inning, Cecilia Vasquez brings Grader and herself on home with this home run. It's number 5 on the year for Vasquez. Then, same inning, Maya Davis shoots one past first. That allowed Deja Williams to come around to score. Davis would end up reaching third. Cajuns win 6-0. They've outscored the Bobcats 13-0 in the first two games of the season. So they look to get another sweep in the Sun Belt this year. Bottom second, scoreless, bases loaded. Katrina Zarate greets Chloe Riaceto with a two-run double down the left side. It's Texas State's first runs of the series. Megan Kelnar is next. Same result, two-run double for her. Then, bottom of the sixth inning, Zarate, homer number 4 of the year, RBI number 3 in the game. Bobcats in the Cajuns' 11-game win streak and hand them their first conference loss, 5-0. College football, the Cajuns getting set for their first scrimmage in the spring. It's a time for Coach Michael Desermo to see what his players have comprehended at this point of the offseason. An offense, Chandler Fields is playing well, but the depth from the offensive line looks to be a bit of a concern at this junction.
Offensively, naturally, you know, when you get to day 6, some of the install starts to add up on a little bit of those young guys. And we've got a really good veteran group, but a lot of our depth, a lot of those guys are going to be from those young guys. So, you know, we got to keep making them battle it out. We're going to scrimmage on Saturday. That'll be our first scrimmage. It'll be really good to see, get everybody off the field, go out there, you know, it's kind of, it'll be live. You know, we've had live periods in pretty much every full pad practice we're in, which, you know, for us, the whole thing about this is just increasing the intensity and the urgency in everything we're doing. So the kids have embraced it. They've done a great job with it. You know, for us, it's just a lot of things to clean up right now.
More Cajun Nation to come after the break. We kick it with men's basketball guard Kentrell Garnett.
This portion of Cajun Nation is brought to you by Lafayette Coca-Cola Bottling.
Welcome back. Cajun baseball and softball rolling in conference play. Football, spring practicing, basketball in its offseason. Perfect time to check in with Kentrell Garnett to see what other things he's into when not playing ball. Cajun fans are familiar with the on-the-court game of junior guard Kentrell Garnett. Off the court, he enjoys a different game, video games. He shares some of his earliest titles.
I had SpongeBob on my Game Boy. I also had GameCube, WWE. I think it was WWE 6, whichever one had Big Show in the front of it. That was the one I had, yeah.
If he were to create his own game, the console gamer pitches this.
Probably a game about my life, my story, like just interactive game. Or something like The Sims, I think that'd be cool. Or on Pop Tropica, remember Pop Tropica they had on website? I'd make something like that, that'd be dope.
Video games are not Garnett's only loves. He's also into reading.
I like Flowers for Ergonon, that's probably my favorite book. Or Nightcrawling by Lila Motley, one of those two.
As for the future, Garnett says he wants to go into the financial world.
I took a finance class and I really enjoyed it, so I figured that'd be a good career for me. Just having my money work for me and the stock market, I was always interested in that and seeing how my money could grow over time, so I was really interested in that.
Doubling back on Kentrell's love of reading, he says he's also a fan of the Harry Potter series. Cajun Nation, back after this.
Welcome back to Inside Cajun Nation. Thanks so much for sticking and staying. George Faust here, UL head track coach Tommy Badon there. That sound good to you?
It does, man.
Can't
lie.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I hear you. Congratulations. I'm happy for you. And you know, I met you a long time ago when you were at Westminster Christian Academy in Opelousas, and you were the football coach. That's how I was introduced to you. I didn't know you were a track superstar.
Wow.
You know? That's a. How many years ago was that?
I got there in 3. 2003. So I remember exactly when you came aboard.
I got here in sports.
It was early on. It was early in 03. Early on around there. Yeah. Yep.
02, I started here. And 03, I started in sports.
Yeah, you weren't covering much in 03. We were pretty bad. But 04, we got good.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all had some quality
we
teams.
We did. We did. We won 92 games while I was there.
Very impressive. Well, let's talk a little bit about your current team, the UL track and field team. What's the schedule look like? What happens now as the spring comes and you get ready for that?
So we're training right now for outdoor season. We start Saturday at McNeese. Then we actually have our home meet, the Louisiana Classics. It really is the Louisiana Classics. We have almost all the state schools coming.
Cool.
So it'll be a really neat, I think a really neat little meet. Then we go to LSU for a big meet there. We always do really well there. Then we're going to take a week off. Then we're going to go to Alabama, to the Alabama Relays at the University of Alabama. Then we go to Northwestern for the Deion Johnson. And then the week after that, for the first time ever, we're going to go to Auburn. Leroy Burrell, the former world record holder in the 100 meters, he's the head coach at Auburn, and we're friends. So we're going to go to Auburn this year, and we're really excited about that. The following week, you know, ULM is hosting our conference meet May the 13th. So they're having a meet for teams to get an opportunity to go run on their track. So several of the conference teams will be going up there. That's the last week of April. 2 weeks later, we have the conference meet up there. And then 2 weeks after that, we have the regionals. The regionals are comprised of the top 48 people in each event in the eastern half of America.
Okay.
As you have to qualify for that. Yeah. That's in Lexington, Kentucky, at the University of Kentucky. And then out of that meet, the top 12 earn a trip to Eugene, Oregon, to Tracktown, USA, for the nationals.
Gotcha.
It's the absolute hardest sport to make it to the national competition of any sport. They do the percentage of athletes who play and who gets to go to the NCAA participation, and track and indoor track are the two hardest sports to make.
Very interesting how that all works. And when you talk about getting a chance to play or compete at different venues, does that help a track athletes, I guess is what I'm saying.
Cool.
Like if you say, hey, we're going to Auburn this year, hey, okay, you know, hey, we're going to LSU, which is an easy trip, but LSU's one of the premier track programs.
It's like any other sport, the cream rises to the top.
Yeah.
And so you want to be able to put your athletes in the best possible position for them to do their best. And to do that, you want them to be able to compete at the highest level. It's one of the selling points of track. You know, it's not football. So we're able to, on a weekly basis, we can go head up against the very best. So our 4x1 relay last year, every week, was going up against some of the best schools in the country. And we ended up going to regionals, make it to nationals. But I really think it's because every week, we were going up against the teams that were winning nationals, right? So it wasn't no big deal, you know, for us. I mean, we're running against them cats every week. So I think that we've tried to do that. We've tried to expose our kids to the highest level of track, and that in turn has raised their level of competition. And so we have, for a mid-major program, a lot of my friends that coach at mid-majors, if they can get 4, 5, 6 kids to the regional meet, they've had a great season. I think Troy had 7 last year. Mm-hmm. We had 18. You know, we had 18 last year. We had 21 the year before. So we've had almost 40 kids in the last 2 years go to the regional meet. That's kind of like a standard. Like, you know, how's your school? How's your program?
Gotcha.
You look at how many regional qualifiers you have, how many conference champions you have. That's kind of like, you know. So we had 12 indoor all-conference performers at the recently held conference championship. But we feel like we can have over 20 again this year at regionals. You know, we can have 3 or 4 relays and a number of individual, you know, competitors, jumpers and throwers. I mean, you know, we're very excited about our outdoor team.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I came out last summer, I guess, or spring, and watched you guys. And my question is this, you guys, you know, all those guys are fast, right? I mean, they got to be, right? Can you improve somebody's speed? Is that so? Like, if I run a 5.040, there's a way for me to get to 4.8.
George, okay, so there's certain
not people, you, but yes,
there are people. Certain people that have certain limitations.
I understand. I was using me as an example.
This is how we look at it, right? This is how we look at track. So if you run the Kentucky Derby, and I'm not saying that I'm not equating my athletes to horses by any means.
Right, no, I understand what you mean. But you put it in
it's an allegory. So yeah. If I want to run in the Kentucky Derby, I have to be a thoroughbred, and it's a higher quality of horse that gets to run in there. So I want to try to get my thoroughbred to be the best thoroughbred and to run as fast as that thoroughbred can run. Right. So if I'm coaching at the Division I level, it's the same thing. But if I'm coaching at a high school, I'm coaching at a junior high or whatever, my level of athlete might be lower, but I want to still get the most out of them. So absolutely, yes, if you know what you're doing, you can help anybody get faster because there's so many different things that go into it other than just, you know, hey, let's line up next to each other and see who wins. It's really way more than that.
Yeah,
if it wouldn't be, then you would take all of the 5-star recruits every year, in every event,
put them out there.
And they would always be they'd always win NCs, right? They're the best in high school, right? So if coaching and training and other things don't matter, then those would be always be the people in the Olympics.
Yeah.
That's just not the case, yeah. Because track is a developmental sport. So a kid might have played mostly football in high school and just did track for fun, and then decides in college he's going to focus on track. A Trajan Jones, great example. Trajan was a great high school football player. For whatever reason, a little undersized or whatever, well, Trajan Jones ends up, he's number two all the time at UL in the 100.
Right.
Because he focused just on track. So he ran 10:48 in high school, but he ran 10:21 last year for us.
Sure enough.
Right? And he ran 21:43 in high school, but he ran 20:76 last year for us in the 200. You know, so
it's kind
of a good example, right?
You know,
track wasn't his total main focus in high school. He was good in track, but when you go to college, all of a sudden, you get other people that are faster than you, that you're training with. You got a good coach, hopefully, that is helping you with the planning and the preparation and learning how to start, learning how to accelerate, you know. So there's a lot that goes into it.
Interesting.
And staying healthy.
So
a lot of people get hurt.
Absolutely. You got to be available.
Right.
Availability.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Good.
That's why they pay us the big bucks.
That's right? It. I understand. I understand. Well, Coach, thanks so much for the time. And if we could cut about 0.4 of a second off of my 40 time, and maybe you never know, I could get under 5.
If I can get 0.4 off of you, man, they need to pay me way more.
Hey, look, you never know. I was an athlete at one point in my life, just not now.
I was too.
Coach, thanks for the time, man. You guys, thanks so much for sticking around and watching Inside Cajun Nation. For Coach Tommy Badon, George Faust here. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, George.